Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is 88.9 NPR, Neighborhood Public Radio, Pirate Radio. My name is Zephyr, and this is Frank Prattle, live with Scott Oliver and David Lawrence. David Lawrence happens to be from Stretcher.org, and Scott Oliver is from Shotgun Review. Let's have a little introduction. They're going to tell us what the hell they think about San Francisco art and what they do.
You want me to start?
Sure.
This is Scott, and... let's see, a friend of mine and I, Joseph Del Pesco, started Shotgun Review last September, and it's essentially a sort of multi-author blog that covers Bay Area art events, and we started it sort of in reaction to the I think, real, although arguably perceived, void in art writing in San Francisco.
What, just for the listening audience, what is Shotgun Review's website?
It's www.shotgun-, that's the important part, review.com.
Is that underscore?
No, dash.
No, that's dash.
It's a dash.
Okay, right. Elevated dash.
That's right.
It's hyphenated.
It's hyphenated.
.com?
.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And David?
I'm David, and I'm with Stretcher, which is an artist collective. It's made up of artists and art critics, and we've been publishing a magazine at www.stretcher.org. This is actually, it's June, and it's the fifth anniversary of Stretcher. We started in June of 2001, and for the same reason that Scott and Joseph started Shotgun Review, we felt at the time that there was a real lack of critical writing about the San Francisco art scene, which we all think is pretty cool, but doesn't seem to get much attention. So it was kind of the peak of the dot-com boom at the time, and we thought, well, here's this amazing medium, the web. Why don't we create an art publication that could bring some light to the Bay Area art scene and hopefully become big and exciting the way that Art Forum did when it started here in San Francisco. So we had, you know, certain aspirations at the time. I think, you know, we gave ourselves a license because in 2000, at the peak of the dot-com era, everybody was sort of thinking really big. So we projected that onto a publication that could illuminate the San Francisco art scene. And we've kept it going for 5 years. So we're happy about that.
And you call it a magazine?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Yeah.
We really, when we started it, thought about it in terms of it being a magazine in sort of a, more of an editorial approach. And I'm being pushed to the microphone. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we really wanted it to be magazine-like in its character. And we wanted to have... good quality in the writing, and just, you know, to really make an impression in the region. Really, we didn't think that there was anything that was creating a form for the kind of writing that we wanted to see. And so, you know, it was started by writers that really wanted to be able to write in a way that they couldn't find a venue for.
Yeah, that's it's really, that's like how Stretcher is different from Shotgun Review, I think.
Yeah, what? How so?
Well, you know, some of the people who write for us are writers in that they do it for a living. But in large part, it's by people who are just sort of interested in writing about and seeing art and having a conversation about it. And that was very much intentional on our part. Although, I have to say, I sort of like can get I don't know it. It can be sort of challenging or limiting in a way, and it's nice, I think, that Stretcher has this sort of forum to like pursue sort of larger questions around the art world in the Bay Area. I mean, our site is really more about having this conversation take place, but getting people to sort of know about what's going on outside of what they might sort of encounter through friends or...
Well, I mean, to jump right in the mix here, let's hear some of this stuff going on that you're helping people discover. What's hot right now? What have you seen or read about?
That's a great question.
I hate that question. What's hot?
We'll give you half a sec. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm terrible.
And anything that you particularly liked? I mean, you don't have to speak as
I just
the objective
went and saw
voice.
Michael Zhang's show at Mission 17, and it's pretty nice. It's very sort of sparse and conceptual, and really about sort of like thinking about the architecture and the sort of individual in a space and how they sort of like perceive. So I don't know. I mean, I was sort of impressed by that show just because there's not, it's kind of old school conceptual art in a way, but there's not a lot of that going on currently, I think. So
right.
That's something that's interesting to me. And then there's a lot of things that sort of fall outside of what can appear in a gallery or whatever that are going on right now. And like Temescal Amity Works in Oakland is a really interesting project that Ted Purvis and Suzanne Cockrell do. Its primary function is the collection and redistribution of produce from backyard gardens in a neighborhood in Oakland. And they also run, they do a few artist projects here and there, and then they also run a film series that they do have a space in Temescal. I think it's thebigbackyard.com. I'm not sure.
All right.
Don't quote me on that.
All right. But have you guys written about it on Shotgun?
There has been a review of the Yellow Car Parade, which was organized by Shane Montgomery. Tons of people turned out with yellow vehicles, and they paraded.
The Sportsman Parade?
The Sportsman Parade.
I always think of when I see yellow cars, especially those the ones are the sporty Walkmans that they came out with in late 80s, early 90s. Weren't they called the Sportsman? It doesn't matter. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Anyway, there's a review about that particular event that did on the site.
Sounds good. David, what about yourself? What have you? What's striking your fancy across
the
town?
I'm liking stuff like rebar.
Rebar.
Rebar,
interesting.
Yeah, you know, just...
those guys.
Yeah, those guys. No, interesting collective work that kind of goes outside the kind of typical collective practice that we're seeing. And those guys have an interesting history to me just because I've lived in the Mission for a long time. So Matt Passmore, who's one of the... prime movers and shakers of that group. He's the son of Bob Passmore, who was big in the city planning in the 90s. And so back when live work was first being discovered by developers and being exploited as a way to create market rate housing, my neighbors and I would go to city planning meetings and we would hear these planning officials, including Matt's dad, talk about, why this is going to be good for the neighborhood. And, it was actually a pretty big long-term struggle in the area. So now years later, it's interesting to meet Matt and see what his practice is and how he engages urban land use and public policy as part of, a conceptual performance-based aesthetic, and I think it's pretty rich and interesting.
I know city. I hear that they're going to be working with Southern Exposure quite a bit.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
scoundrels.
are they designing their new space?
Yeah, it's also inbred.
Are they designing their new space?
No, actually.
That'd be nice, though.
Yeah. Or they're doing a public project with them.
They're doing a public project. Yeah.
So I have to ask you. Because you guys both review art.
Yes.
There's that common cliche out there, and this is the chance to address it.
I don't think that's funny at all.
we're gonna stomp it into the ground today, or we're gonna completely enlighten the world with the truth of it all.
Let's grind it to dust.
The critic, is it a failed artist or no? A dissatisfied artist, I should say.
Wow, not at all.
No.
Not at all?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Tell us why.
Well, I just think it's important to. I mean, for me, art making is always sort of primarily about communication, and so I think, well, at least with Shotgun Review, like part of the idea is that artists should be participating in this, and even people who are just interested in art but don't necessarily know a lot about it can can have this sort of discussion around the issues that, I mean, I always think that art is on top of the thing that you're looking at or whatever, is always a sort of occasion to have a discussion about whatever it is that the art brings to bear, or to light, rather.
Yeah, and we at Stretcher see the reviews as part of a larger conversation generating mechanism that we think is crucial to a healthy ecosystem for the arts. So that, you know, you have really productive artists here in the region, and it's there are a lot of places where you can actually show your work, but having that third part of the loop, you know, having reviews to help point people to interesting stuff and to generate conversations is right. What it's about. And do you guys have comments on your reviews?
We do.
We
do accept comments. I've been sort of slightly disheartened by the lack of people wanting to sort of take advantage of that. But it's there, and you can definitely add comments to our reviews.
I
encourage it.
Yeah, I have to say, definitely one that got some comments, and I know it's caused.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Quite a stir. And if you're out there somewhere in some international country, I hope you're listening. But Chris Gilbert.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about him for a little bit?
Well, Chris Gilbert was the curator at the Matrix program at Berkeley Museum, and I think he came there from Baltimore. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and
some swanky city like that.
Swanky city of Baltimore. Anyway, he curated a series of programs, Now Time in Venezuela, having to do with the revolutionary work of people in Venezuela. And he resigned several weeks ago over the politics of actually the language of some of the signage and just difficulties he was having with the institution. And we got a letter. I think a lot of people and organizations got this letter, but we published it in its entirety as we requested.
You scooped him.
We did, actually. And there have been some interesting comments just about that whole issue, which I think is one of the strengths of what sites like Shotgun Review and Stretcher are able to do, is to put this stuff out there and then allow people to start expressing their views on this issue. I mean, I'd been interested in this show, but now I'm going to really make an effort to go see what it's all about, just based on the comments and the controversy.
Right.
And it was quite an incendiary letter. It
sure
was. You know, it was like basically throwing a bomb at the institution. So we thought that was interesting.
And, you know, I went and saw, because there are two parts to the show, and one closed already, but the other one's still going on. But I went and
What'd you think?
And, you know, it was like, it was amazing. It was actually really good.
Yeah.
But it was like a Mr. Rogers kind of like tour of like factories, what have you.
Yeah.
Like totally, you know, like the machines rolling around, and then some people talking about what they did with the machines and stuff. Totally, totally non-offensive stuff. Just like people talking about how proud they were that they finally were part of something.
Right.
And so it struck me as a little bit odd that would get turned into something.
But I think it was not about the content of the show at all. But about the way it was presented or framed by
the positioning of the institution in relations to the
whether they supported that side.
Have you read like some of the latest comments? Like there was some stuff in the past couple. You know, there's not like a lot. There's only like 5 comments.
Right.
It's not like a political blog, you know, that gets like 500 in an afternoon. But you know, I mean, it's interesting just seeing the. Diversity, like, you know, one person claiming to be from Venezuela is calling it, you know, calling that show propaganda, you know, like this is propaganda, and these factories or, you know, this TV station is closed, and, you know.
I hear that's a Berkeley spy. Is that true?
Well, you know, yeah, working for Contelprobe. You
know. Clear Channel. Are you out there?
Yeah. That's right. They're listening.
So, to get back to Shotgun Review and stuff like that, one of my personal favorite reviews is Dina Pugh wrote a review about Red 76, and that show had gotten some controversy from other reviewers in town, and I really liked her take on that. What, as far as reviews for Shotgun Review, what are some of your favorites that you've had a chance to read? I mean, you get to read them all, obviously.
Yeah, I do read them all. I kind of make a point to read them all, but
we hope.
Let's see. I'm gonna have to take a second to think about that. But well, I actually, you know, it as an interesting sort of counterpoint to Dina Pugh's review, there's a
Sarah Lockhart's
yeah. review of the previous Peer Pleasure show, yeah.
Gilded Turd, I believe.
Yeah, that was
harsh. But, you know, that was an interesting review because, you know, I read it and it wasn't like a negative review. It's actually, you know, she has some positive and negative things to say, and in the end, it really was kind of open to me as a reader what to think about it, which I think is
definitely.
Know, good,
I mean,
a good quality.
She's not saying that like her sort of point of view is you know total at all, and yeah. I there's definitely a room there, and that's kind of what I think is so great about providing a forum for reviews in this kind of context to have a discussion about it. I mean, that's really like sort of our primary interest with Shotgun Review is that it can. Well, you know, I mean, I think like forget about the people outside of the art world in San Francisco for just a second.
For starters,
please.
No, I mean, that's definitely like you know, an audience that we'd like to connect with. But I think sort of a more primary issue we're addressing is how sort of isolated the art world itself can be, like in terms of, you know, people who sort of practice in a certain way don't really talk to people who practice in another way. Mm. And even, you know...
I mean, for the listening audience, i.e. like sculpture versus painting or...
I mean, I even think like...
Skater art versus...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like there's definitely like sort of a real contingent of so-called street artists here who, you know, some of them sort of can have crossed over into what is considered like cutting edge contemporary art, but
such as your, you know, your Barry McGee's, what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And yet there's definitely a division. I mean, there's a review of a show at Varnish on our site, and she kind of points to the arbitrariness of some of the decisions made. And she was like comparing the artists there to artists that show at Jack Handley, and she's like, I don't really see the difference here. I mean, that's debatable, of course, but there is some arbitrariness into it, and there is a kind of like
right,
like hierarchy that comes along with that, and I think that part of my interest is to kind of collapse these worlds and get those people who sort of like consider themselves to be doing one thing talking to these other people who consider themselves to be doing or operating in a different way in another world.
So what's your strategy for that? Like how do you blur those lines? Because I also notice that it's pretty stratified, that you know, right. You can go to a lot of different venues and see a lot of different things, but you don't necessarily, what, do I have to eat this thing?
Live here, David Lawrence eats a mic, and we're going to help him.
You can listen to you digest your burrito.
but you know, you don't see that overlap, you know, at the venues. Like I notice it just in terms of the different crowds at different places.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. So how do you get them all in one conversation or one place or mix it up?
Yeah,
and I think it's an interesting challenge.
I think by leaving our format really open in that pretty much, I mean, it's a kind of an open call for people who want to write, and you can contact us through the website if you're interested in writing. And we're always looking for writers. But what's happened or
give them the website real quick.
www.shotgun-review.com.
Okay.
Is it dash or hyphen?
What's begun to happen is that there are people who like certain things and they write about them, and they're on there right next to people who really have different tastes. And I think, you know, it's not exactly, you know, sort of confrontational or you know, it's not sort of overt, I guess, but the material's all there. Like you can read a review about something that happens at a giant robot, and also read a review about something that happens at the Wattis Institute. And I think the crowds for those shows tend to be
are pretty damn different.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Did either of you guys go to that latest Wattis show?
There's, the Artadia thing?
I think it was 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. At CCA, yeah.
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 And when? Quick, off the cuff, this is instant review.
I haven't been, so. No? I know.
What's the smack you've heard?
Oh, you know, it's good stuff.
Was it good? What do you think, David?
What did I think? Yeah. You know, it's a lot of familiar faces, yeah, but exactly. they're all deserving. It's, you know, it's fine.
All right. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I like Mads' piece.
Which one?
Mads. Linera.
What's in the
scrunchy sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the umbrella piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good piece. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
anyway,
I like that piece. Yeah, yeah.
A brief tangent. Anyway, yeah. Back to what you guys do in this town. As far as funding-wise, I mean, are you guys looking for funders?
You know, that was my question about calling it a magazine was... Had to do with my running into sort of dead ends in terms of finding funding for web-based projects. And then, you know, I mean, there's so little funding for publications to begin with. But as soon as it's a website... I mean, I actually talked to this woman on the phone, and I'm not going to name names, but she said, well, it's not a publication.
It's like, no, it's a website, right?
It's like, what people rock
read
have
it
you been
free,
living under?
You know? Well, I think we call it a magazine more because of the approach to editorial. So it's not strictly reviews. We also are interested in projects. We're interested in essays. I mean, for me personally, the stuff that is most interesting is kind of a hybrid kind of writing where, you know, a writer might be looking at a show but then kind of spins into their own trip about things, you know. So, like, for example, right now we have a feature by Gordon Winiamco, who's he's from San Francisco. He's getting his master's at Irvine, but it's called Against the Grain, and it came from work he was doing at Irvine, where he started to notice a trend in visual art where there was all this wood grain in everything that he's looking at, right? Just like all these artists using wood grain as an aesthetic element, and it just got him thinking about, what is this about?
Right.
And so...
right there along with the deer heads.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. I'm melting!
So, you know, he wanted to write about this, you know, and it's not a review of this work per se, but it's, you know, it's sort of this longer kind of meditation on, you know, what is the nature of this aesthetic, and then how does he relate to it, and and so, you know, that's where it kind of that's where we differentiate from, say, Shotgun Review, which we actually really appreciate there being, you know, a venue for just getting reviews out, because one of the things we have difficulty with is just being as timely as we'd like. You know, you'd think being on the web, being a web publisher, that you'd be able to just like go out, see stuff, write it, get it posted, boom, you know.
Right.
But it actually is, you know, it takes time and energy, and so, you know, we're always fighting that battle of being as timely as we want to be. And I think the place where we probably do the best with the timeliness is with things like news, like, okay, we get a letter from Chris Gilbert, okay, we'll post that, you know, or we have a section that's more blog-like where, you know, just if there's news or gossip or something that we think is interesting to the community, we'll just try to get it out there as fast as possible. So,
I didn't
answer your funding question.
So another question, just, you know, we have to wrap it up pretty quick, unfortunately, but because we are live, local in the Mission here, what is your guys' fairly quick take on the Mission school, what have you, of painting, and whether it's living, dying, or very quickly should be dying, what have you, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can just answer no. Or yes.
I don't know what that term means anymore.
I don't either. And I never really am. I thought it was a pretty artificial sort of boundary to draw around.
Yeah.
A pretty diverse.
Bright, shiny colors. Lines going everywhere.
Yeah, but.
Deer heads.
You know,
half tagging, half like cut and paste.
I don't think Glenn, when he like coined that term, intended it to do what it started doing.
Right.
You know, I think,
as with most things.
Yeah, you know, stuff kind of takes on a life of its own, and I think that's what happened to that label. And I don't know how useful it is, you know, at this point in time.
What would you prefer to use?
As a label? I don't have one. You know, I just look at what friends, colleagues, neighbors are doing, and it's, you know, it's cool stuff.
I do think that there's
You think there's a regional aesthetic?
I think there's a regional aesthetic. No, I think that the art world here is sort of opening up a bit. You don't have to necessarily live in San Francisco or in a neighborhood in San Francisco to get. Some people outside of that are getting attention, I guess. There's a particularly vibrant scene growing in Oakland, I think.
Yeah, Oakland's definitely pretty interesting.
Speaking of which, Yerba Buena, I think, is having a big-ass sampler show of them.
Yeah, I'm confused by that, though.
I'm not. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, what? I mean, it's like, oh, these are all the people that we left out of Bay Area now. I mean, I don't know.
No, this is what we do after Bay Area now.
Right.
You know, okay.
Bay Area now too.
You know, they're looking for what is interesting, you know, or what the perception of interesting is.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's bad. I think it's great to give exposure, you know, to these guys and
absolutely, absolutely.
You know, it's all about like more visibility for stuff that's worthwhile
and getting people over here to cross the bridge.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm guilty of not doing it. Seriously, it's not that far, but, you know, like, it's like, it's across the bridge. You know, like, I'll drive across town for something. I'll drive to, like, you know, a neighborhood that I normally wouldn't go to, but the idea of getting on the bridge, I don't know, you know. What's the barrier?
Well, you got to take
it's
BART.
It's on the head, right?
You take BART, and then you can nap.
I do like BART. Yeah. BART works. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's about where we're going to leave it.
Take BART, people.
Thank you both very much for coming out today. And this
thank
is,
you. Thank
do you,
you
guys
having.
Just want to reintroduce yourself, give your websites, what have you?
David Lawrence, and I'm with Stretcher at www.stretcher.org.
And this is Scott Oliver with Shotgun Review, www.shotgun-review.com.
Thank you guys both very much.
Thanks
my name is Zephyr, and this is NPR Neighborhood Public Radio.